And the time went on, and I married another lady, and we didn't have children. And we went to the great tzaddik, the Kosnischer Magid, and he told me that I have to become a beggar, because this is the only way that I would somehow have the schools to have children. And he sent me to the Chayze of Lublin, and the Chayze told me that I had to go and I had to ask forgiveness from your sister. And she told me, when I finally found her, that the only way she would forgive me is if I would help you from your trouble and give you 2,000 rubles. And so I've traveled all this way to do it. And as he's talking, he notices that Reb Chaim's eyes are popping out of his head, his mouth is open, his face is red, then it's white, and it looks like he's going to faint. And Reb Shmuel says, Reb Chaim, you're so surprised about the money? Don't worry about it. I want you to have it, and you could make the chasna for your daughter. And Reb Chaim says, what are you talking about? That you saw my sister? I don't understand. And Reb Chaim says, and Reb Shmuel says, what's the surprise? I saw your sister in Balta. And Reb Chaim says, when did you see my sister? Reb Shmuel says, well, what's such a surprise? I mean, haven't you seen your sister lately? I haven't seen her for such a long time. Well, where is your sister? Well, she's down the road. She's down the road. But I haven't seen her for a long time. At least 15 years. Well, where is your sister? Well, she's down the road. She's down the road. But I haven't seen her for a long time. And Reb Chaim says, and Reb Shmuel says, what do you mean? If she's down the road, how is it that you didn't see her for a long time? I just saw her a few months ago in Balta, and I asked her to forgive me. Reb Chaim says, you must be making a mistake. It's impossible. Reb Shmuel says, I don't understand. If she's down the road, how can you not have seen your sister for 15 years? And why are you so surprised that I saw her a few months ago in Balta? And Reb Chaim says, because I told you she's down the road. Well, if she's down the road, why haven't you visited her lately? I mean, don't you see your sister? No. And all of a sudden, Reb Chaim says, look what I mean, down the road. And Reb Chaim looks down the road, and Reb Shmuel, and Reb Chaim shows Reb Shmuel down the road. You know what's down the road? The Beis HaKfarais. You know what's the Beis HaKfarais? If a person passed away, they take him to the Beis HaKfarais. She's there for the last 15 years. My sister passed away 15 years ago. That's why I didn't see her for a long time, and that's why she's down the road. She's down the road at the Beis HaKfarais, and I didn't see her for 15 years. So how could you have seen her just a few months ago in Balta if I didn't see her for 15 years because she passed away? And Reb Shmuel says, I'm not exactly sure, but I did see her in the rainstorm when we came out of the rain, and she told me to give you the 2,000 rubles, and she said you were in great trouble and that you wouldn't be able to make the chasna for your daughter. So I collected the money. And Reb Chaim says, and just yesterday, we had the fire and the money burned up. And both of the men looked at each other, and they realized that it was a tremendous big mess, kindalach. But somehow, through these great tzaddikim, the Chasid Shel Magid and the Chasid of Lublin, a very wonderful thing, a very special big miracle had happened. Now, kindalach, it is a very strange story, but one thing we know. People that are alive in the world are connected even to neshamis in Gan Eden. First of all, every yid is connected with every other yid in the world. How many boys know that if we hear about a sick person, sometimes we take out a tillim and we say tehillim for the sick person, even if the sick person is far away? Because we say tehillim to help a sick person, and because we're connected with them, we can connect with them and help them. How many boys know that if somebody passed away, somebody from the family says Kaddish, because the person is connected to help somebody in Gan Eden? And sometimes a person comes back from Gan Eden. I would like to finish the story right now, so you must be quiet. Sometimes the person in the world helps somebody in Gan Eden, and sometimes a person from Gan Eden comes to help the person in the world. And also we see something of Mida Keneged Mida. Reb Shmuel helped Reb Chaim to make a chasana. A chasana is where the chosin marries the kala, and hopefully they have children. In other words, he helped somebody else to have children. And in that schus, Hashem opened the door for him and his wife, for Reb Shmuel and his wife, to have the bracha, to have a child. Okay. Stay still. That's the end of the very interesting, long story. Yuval invented musical instruments. This is the beginning of musical instruments. There are two kinds of musical instruments in the world. There are stringed instruments, and there are wind instruments. These are the two main families of instruments. There might be a few other ones on the outside of that. The two main kinds of instruments are stringed and wind. Now, a guitar is what? Which family? Strings. A violin is which family? Strings. A trumpet is which family? Wind, because you have to blow it. A saxophone is which family? Wind, you have to blow it. A piano is which family? Strings. What's inside of a piano? Did you ever see? Strings. You press the key, it goes to a little hammer, and the hammer bangs a string. That's how you get the piano sound. A piano is a stringed instrument. A clarinet is what? Wind. You blow it. A harp. Over here, the very beginning was they took strings, they put them on a piece of wood, they plucked it, and they saw it made a sound. When you pluck a string, then you see that it vibrates, it shakes back and forth, it makes a sound. If you take a fat string and you make it long, it makes a very deep sound. If you see the piano inside, the very low notes are fat strings and they're long. Now, if you take a skinnier string and you make it short, it gets a very high sound. A guitar, the same thing. Even though they're all the same length, but the bottom strings are fat, and that makes them shake slower, so you get a deeper sound. And the higher strings are skinny, and when you pluck them, you get a higher sound. Now, a harp actually has longer strings and shorter strings. Now, this is the beginning of music. But, kindalach, how did it start? Let me tell you. One day, Yuval comes into Yuval's tent. Hey, Yuval, Look what I just invented. Look, I took a string, I put it on a stick, I attached it on both ends, and I go ping, and it makes a sound. Isn't that nice? Hey, Yavol said, that's good. Let's make a song. Yeah, what are we going to make a song? What kind of a song? For what? Well, instead of just talking to my Getchkes, we'll sing to my Getchkes. We'll play music. We'll make the Getchkes happy. And the Getchkes will love the music. The sun will shine nicer because we're going to sing songs to the sun Getchke. The moon will make nice light. We'll sing songs to the moon Getchke. The stick will make the water come in the river because he's going to love the music. And they made up Getchke songs and sun songs and moon songs and river songs and all kinds of songs to the Getchkeluch. And the next day, Yuval comes into the tent. He says, look what I did. I took a thing over there and from a plant and I put it into a thing and I can blow it and I make a noise. I'm blowing and I'm making music blowing. Yesterday I was playing with my fingers. Today I'm blowing with my mouth making music. Okay, let's make more Getchke songs. The beginning of the musical instruments, Kimalach, was for the Getchkalach. Shh. They sang and they played the musical instruments. Yuval made the music and Yuval made the Getchkalach. Na'ama believed in Hashem. Na'ama did not believe in Getchkes, and she knew that it's wrong to believe in Getchkes. And she went to her half-brother, Yuval, because they had the same father, they had a different mother. Na'ama had a father named Lemech. Yuval also had a father named Lemech. But Lemech's mother was Ada. I'm sorry. Yuval's mother was Ada, and Na'ama's mother was Sila. They had the same father, but different mothers. They're half brother and sister. She went to Yuval. She said, Yuval. Yes, Na'ama. Yuval. Why do you dive into those Getchkes? Don't you realize Hashem is the boss of the sun and the moon and the stars and the river? You have to dive into Hashem. Yuval says, I like my Getchkes. Shiny stones, smooth pieces of wood. And by this time, he was building more Getchkes out of metal because Tuvul Kain was helping him. And they made Getchkes with three eyes and five noses and seven arms and 28 toes and all kinds of things. They made Getchkes out of wood and glass. And he used to dive into them and sell them. Na'ama says, don't you realize it's Narishkeit, it's Shtusim. Throw out the Getchkes in the garbage can and dive into Hashem. And Yuval said, out of my tent, don't tell me what to do, sister. Go somewhere else. And then over there, Yuval is playing his guitar. He's playing his flutie and his clarinet and his violin and his cello. And she says, Yuval, such beautiful music. Why don't you try a nigun? Why do you have to play that Getchke music? Play nigunim. Nigunim are beautiful. Don't tell me what to do. I'll play whatever I want. And he takes out a Getchke and he starts playing music to the Getchke. Oy, Getchke, 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 Getchke. Don't sing to the Getchke. Sing to Hashem. Sing nigunim. Your neshama will go close to Hashem through a nigun. The Getchke music takes you close to the Getchkes. Get out. Don't tell me what to do, Na'ama. I'm busy playing my guitar and my piano-y and my flute and my clarinet-y and I have to go and play. And don't bother me because I'm playing Getchke music now. And now she goes over there to Tuvul Kain, and Tuvul Kain is working with his tools, making arrows and swords and knives. And she says, Tuvul Kain, you make such beautiful stuff out of metal. How about a nice becher for Tati to make Kiddush? How about a nice pair of leichter from mommy to Ben Schlicht. How about some mezuzah covers out of metal? Oh, Nama, Dremenischen Kopf. Don't tell me what to do with my metal. I want to make metal the way I want to make things. I like to make arrows to shoot, swords to cut, and knives, sharp things, hunting, and killing. That's what I like to do. Oh, come on, you could use your kreichas for Hashem. What do you have to, use your kreichas for the Yetzer Hara for? I nama dreimenichken kop, let me do what I want. And Nama said, if people in this world keep doing what they want and not listen to Hashem, I don't know what's going to happen to this world. I'm afraid where the world is going, that people do what they want and they daven to Getchkes and they play music to Getchkes. And instead of davening to Hashem, they're busy davening to Getchkes the whole time. I wonder where this world is going. And Kinalach, Nama, she went to her room. And Nama went to her room and she took out her tehillim and she started to say tehillim and cry. And she goes to her parents, Mommy, Tati, do something about the brothers. Look what they're doing. Getchkes, Getchke music, knives and swords and weapons. Please go talk to them. And Ada and Sila and Lemech say, we can't talk to them. They don't listen. What do you mean they don't listen? You're the parents. Talk to the kids. I'm only the sister. I'm talking to the brothers. They don't listen. You're the parents. Yeah, but they talk chutzpahdik and they don't listen. But wait a minute. Aren't parents supposed to be able to control the kids? Well, we try, but you know how it is. We can't really do it. And they're chutzpahdik. Ay, Nama says, what's going to be with the world? What's going to be with people? Look what happens. Look how they're behaving. And they said, listen, Nama, enough of you in the house already. You're old enough that you should be married. We should find you a nice chosen bucher. Well, I want to marry a tzaddik. I don't want to marry some just regular person, especially chas shalom, somebody who's not good. I want to marry a tzaddik. Lemech says, all right, we'll find you a nice shidduch. And Lemech goes, Kinalach, looking around at all the different boys. Most of the boys, you know, they were into Getchkes, Getchke music, and all kinds of Yitzhahara things. But there was one boy in the neighborhood. Also, he was off to the side. He wouldn't play with the Vilda boys. He wouldn't speak like them. He wouldn't behave like them. He wouldn't act like them. And he also had his tillim, and he was saying tehillim, and he was davening and learning. And Lemech says, just like my Nama. This boy is just like my Nama. He doesn't like the way they're behaving, and he doesn't go on Mishrayim with the way people are behaving like that, so he behaves himself good. Let me go find out who he is. And he goes and finds out, who's that boy over there that's saying tillim and he's learning and davening? It's like my daughter. They're about the same age. Oh, him, yeah. His name is Noach. Yeah, Noach. Noach. That's Noach. He's got his own ideas, you know. He doesn't like to be like everybody else. He doesn't behave like everybody else. People, sometimes they talk about him. Look, he's different. He's off by himself. He won't play the games everybody else plays because he says it's against Hashem. He keeps talking about Hashem. Oh, one of those. Yeah, my daughter's one of those. Hashem and Baruch Hashem and the Tehillim and the Tztakapushkes and the Sfarim. Yeah, Noach. He's the same kind. He's got Sfarim and Tztakapushkes and he's got mezuzahs on his doors in his house. And he's always going to his parents and driving them nuts about keeping Shabbos and eating kosher. Yeah, my daughter's one of those also. No Getchke music and no Getchkes and no Avodah Zarah and none of these clippers and all these things. And she's always talking about Hashem and Baruch Hashem and davening. This Noach, go speak to his parents. Maybe it's for your daughter. Oh yeah, they spoke it over. Yeah, our kids are two of a kind. Okay, let's make a shidduch. So Noach and Naama had a nice chasene, and Naama married Noach, and Noach married Naama, and they're talking. Yeah, what's going to be with the world? Look at us too. We're just two people like this in the world, and the whole world won't listen to us. What's going to be with the world? Should we be like everybody else? Chas v'shalom. We'll have our own family. And they started having babies. Little baby Yafes was born the first. And then little baby Ham was born next. And little baby Shame was born. Shame. Actually, they had to wait a long time to have babies because they didn't get a bracha for babies right away. And boy, they were davening a lot. And Hashem came and said to Noach, he told him what's going to happen to the world. He says, lucky for you and Naama that you did not change your ways and be like the other people in the world. Because I've had it with the other people in the world, the stealing and the lying and the cheating and the getchkes. And that's Kinalach, the Noach and the Naama that Hashem told to build the Teva. And in the end, Noach and Naama and their kiddies, and the three boys' wives, they went into the Teva, and they were saved. And everybody else, you know what happened to them in the Mabul, together with their getchkes, together with all the guitars and violins and fluties that were used to the getchke music, and all the swords and the arrows and the knives, and all the things that were used for Vigate Sahara things, they all got wiped out in the Mabul. And the tzaddikim got saved in the teva, together with the tzaddikim animals. There was once a man, he had a store, he sold things to people, they came, they would buy things in the store, and the man had the store for years, did a good business, and it was time for him to retire, which means he's going to sell his store, and he will do whatever he has to do, and somebody new will come into the store. And the man now put the store for sale, and the advertisement said, a very good store, full of customers, always buying things. Whoever buys the store and takes care of the store will make a lot of money and a good living for their family. So please buy this store if you want a good deal and to have a good business. Let's say the man who was in the store, his name is Reuven. Reuven is now selling the store. And Shimon reads now the sign. Ooh, I would like to have a good business and a good store. So maybe I'll buy this store. And he sees it's full of customers. It's full, people buying things and carrying out packages. And he says, ooh, this Reuven must make a lot of money. Looks like a good thing. And he goes into Reuven and they talk it over. And now Shimon buys the store from Reuven. And now Shimon goes and sits in the store. And he's now the boss of the store. And he's waiting for customers. He's waiting. Nobody comes in the door. He's waiting another hour. You know, one person comes in, maybe two people. But at the end of the day, only a few people came in the store. He thinks, who knows? Maybe they're used to Reuven being in the store and not used to me. But the store didn't change. It's just that the owner changed. Why shouldn't people come? I'll see what happens tomorrow. The next day also, only a few customers came. The whole week, a few customers, very few. Going on? Why is it that Reuven had a full store of customers and I'm in the same store with the same things, the same prices, everything the same, and I'm having hardly any customers? Why is it? He decided he's going to go ask the rabbi in the shul. Down the block was a shul. And he goes and asks the rabbi, Rabbi, I have a question I don't quite understand. that the owner before, the store was full of people. Reuven. And now I'm in the store and I hardly have any customers. Maybe you could help me understand what's going wrong over here. And the rabbi thought for a while and he says, Shimon, let me ask you something. What are you doing in the store while you're waiting for customers? Reuven says, well, I sit on a chair behind the counter and I'm usually looking out the window. I'm looking in the street to see where the people are going. And sometimes I get bored doing that because people are not coming to my store, so I read a newspaper or a magazine. Or sometimes I play a game or something like that. That's what I do. And the rabbi smiled and he says, oh, now I understand. Now I understand why you don't have customers and why Shim and why Reuven did have customers. Rabbi said, now I understand, Shimon, why you don't have customers and why Reuven did have customers. I'll tell you why. You know what Reuven used to do in the store when he owned the store? Every extra minute that he had, he would say Tehillim, he would learn Torah. He would always have a Sefer ready to learn. He would have a Chumash, a Mishnayos. He would say Tehillim. He was always busy every minute. Or he would say Mishnayos Baal Peh. Now, what happened? The Yetzer Hara, who always tries to disturb and stop a mitzvah, or Chas V'Shalom, if a person learns Torah, the Yetzer Hara tries to make trouble. The Yetzer Hara saw Reuven is busy learning. He's always busy learning or saying Tehillim. The Yetzer Hara couldn't stand it, so much Kedusha. So he says, I have to disturb this person from what he's doing. What did he do? He says, how can I disturb Reuven from learning now or saying Tehillim? So he said, oh, I have a good idea. I'll bring him a customer, somebody to come into the store to buy things, and he's going to go and help the customer, you know, find things and talk about a price or something, or pack it up in a bag and take the money and make change. So in that time, he won't have time to say Tehillim or learn. So he sent up a customer to his store. And Reuven would take care of the customer. Right away he would go back to saying Tehillim or learning something. And the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, couldn't stand there. And he says, look, Reuven is back to learning. I have to disturb him again. So he sent him another customer. And Reuven was very good taking care of his customers. Or everything was nicely put in the store so the customers could help themselves. So in order to disturb Reuven even more, he sent a lot of customers. So he's busy all the time. He put a store full of customers, always buying and always coming and buying more and more things and telling their friends to come. So that way the Satan was happy because that way he could keep disturbing Reuven from learning. And Reuven didn't have too much time to learn. He was busy taking care of customers. And that's why Reuven had so much business in his store. But you, Shimon, what are you doing? You're just, you know, you're relaxing, you're looking out the window, you're reading a newspaper, you're reading a magazine. You're not really doing anything in Torah mitzvahs, so the Satan is happy. The Yetzer Hara is happy. He says, look, you know, I'll leave him alone. I don't have any reason to disturb him. So he's not going to send you customers because he's already happy. You're not doing too much. So he says, why should I send him a customer? He's doing nothing. I'm happy he's doing nothing.